Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Coach Unplugged. Super excited. Before we jump in, we'd like to give a big shout out to our sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market, bar none. They are sturdy. They will not break. They don't prop break down. Mention Coach Unplugged. They'll give you $350 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It's the one-stop shop for basketball coaches. Right now, we've got a quarterly membership going on, which I think is awesome. I think it rocks. We've got everything you need inside of our roadmap. You know, the teachhoops did a roadmap. Because you're always in one of four seasons, right? You're either in preseason, you're either in postseason, you're either in the season or you're in the offseason. One of those four seasons you're always in. And we set up a roadmap and a checklist to make it easier for you. So come over, join us at teachhoops.com. Let's head off to the podcast.
Hey, how are you?
Doing good. Doing good.
You grab my notepad here. All right, you got questions for me?
Yes, I do. I do. First off, hope everything is good on your end.
It's getting closer. We're not quite back to 100% yet, but we're getting there.
Yeah, same over here. It's just things are slowly getting back to normal.
Yes, I'm hoping in the next couple months we're back to normal. So,
yeah. Well, the question I had was pertaining to offense, the read and react.
Yep.
Just by listening to your podcast, I didn't know if you were still running it. I know.
Yeah, I'm running. Hold on. I'm going to grab some. I'm running a simplified version of it because it's almost too complicated for my guys.
Mm-hmm.
So I got it down to five rules, which I'll send you this.
Okay.
So, yeah, I got it down to five basic. So basically, you have a cut, pick, or a slip. I'm trying to get it down to like three things that's all they have to do. Because otherwise, I think all the layers are way too confusing for them.
Yeah. I mean, at times it gets confusing for me. just looking at it is like, what do you teach? What do you kind of focus on?
So here are the general rules that I kind of set up. Everybody moves on a pass.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty basic, right? Because you have the five spots. So everybody's always moving on a pass. If your defender, and I'll send you a copy of this so you can look at it. If the defender turns his head, you back cut. Because that happens a lot. Like the defender will turn. So we teach them that whenever the defender turns their head, they're always going to back door cut. And every pick is a possible slip. So what I mean by slip is you go to the basket rather than guy coming off the screen. But basically on every time you pass, you should either cut, right? you should pick, or you should slip or roll to the basket. Because if you, because basically when you pass, you're either going to cut to the basket or you're going to screen away, right? Yeah. So if you screen, you're either going to hold that screen for the nearest guy or you're going to slip to the basket. That's literally the offense. It's that simple. Okay. That's all we do. Yeah. But the problem is they always want to pass and cut. Like they get in the habit of doing one thing over and over again, and that's all they'll do. So you got to really break that habit.
Now, is that as a team you feel like, or are you talking about each individual player does one specific thing that they're comfortable with?
I've noticed most kids want to pass and cut, like all of them. They don't want to go screen. So we spend a lot more time on this screening away.
Okay. That's actually interesting because I'm somewhat familiar with the offense. And this past year, it was my first year coaching.
Yep.
And it was the only option I gave them was to cut. But the issue is that, like, I don't know if it was because obviously it's my first year and there's the whole learning curve.
Yep.
But just in general, even before then, just dealing with other teams, I feel like it's always been an issue for them just to cut.
Okay.
Like, I didn't even think of my option. It was just, you just cut. And I was honestly thinking about switching to pass and screen away. I kind of felt like there was a little bit more benefits to passing and screening away.
Yep.
And there are
the key with that is you got to teach them how, you got to teach the guy coming off the screen how to slice around it, how to come off the screen, and sometimes go around it, because and then you have to teach the screener to, I call it, so slice means you, I use this terminology, slice means you come off the screen, and slip means slip is the guy that's going to set the screen, and rather than setting it, he fakes it and slips to the basket. So you got to spend some time on that. How was your spacing?
I mean, the spacing is actually pretty good. It was probably the best I've had in other years. I mean, they did a pretty good job of the spacing part. It was just that they just would not, the whole cutting concept was just, I don't know if it was foreign to them. They just did not want to do it. And the one thing, I might be moving around because I have horrible reception. You might see me move positions a couple times. Actually, I might go inside. Might get better connection. But what I was thinking was the passing and cutting is important to me. But I think, to me, the driving is a little bit more important.
Yep.
And the reason why I was trying to go away from the cutting, because I feel like at times they got in the way. And so I feel like at least, even if they're going the other way, even if they mess up, they're out of the way.
Right. No, I agree. There's a couple things. First of all, when they cut, you got to make sure they cut far enough. But then that's why we don't really run the read and react. We run a kind of a hybrid, because we want space. Mm-hmm. And then the problem is, the only good thing I like about, well, there's lots of things I like about it, but we teach them to fight for space. So if you have the ball and you can drive to the space, drive. But then the key is everyone else filling the spot, right? Mm-hmm. So who's open? Let's say I catch the ball on the wing and I drive to the basket. Yeah. Where's the opening? Right behind me, right? Mm-hmm. So if someone fills behind it and I get stopped, I know that I'm going to be able to kick it back to the person behind me.
Yeah.
And they're going to be open. So it's a little bit of that combination of dribble drive / read and react that I think is a really good hybrid.
Yeah. Now, are you going five out?
I do. Out? I like five out because I just like to, if you have the players that can do it.
Yeah.
Because it just leaves so much space. And especially if you have guys that can dribble attack, mm-hmm. I just think it leaves so much space. It's like I literally put painter's X's on the floor, and you better be in one of those five spots. Because if you got guys that can hoop off the dribble, mm-hmm. man, it's just going to open things up. They just got to know that when they get in there, they're going to get stopped sometimes. Yeah. And they got to know the guys are going to fill the other spots for them.
Okay. Now, so should I give them that option to either cut or screen away? Should I leave that open, or
I think the key to the teaching, and this is 3 or 4 years of trying to do this, yeah, is you got to teach them one thing and get them really good at it, and then go on to the next. So we'll spend a day on just cutting, and then the next day we'll come and we'll add just screening away, and we'll work on, you know, how to read the screen, how to slip off the screen, how to slice off the screen. I like it. We'll also have calls for it. Like, you know, we'll have like fist or double fist, whereas we only want to pass and screen away. So you can manipulate them a little bit and have calls for it. I just think you want all three of those options. You want the dribble, you want the cuts. Can your guys make the pass on the cut? That's the question.
What do you mean on the cut? As in
like I pass and cut to the basket, and I'm going to the basket hard and trying to get my head under the rim.
Yeah.
Can your guys make that pass being pressured? Yeah,
under pressure? I mean, I don't know. We haven't done it enough for me to gauge that. I mean, my team's going to be fairly small next year.
Okay.
But, I mean, they're relatively skilled. I don't think
if you're small, you definitely want to. You're playing your guard. You're playing small ball then.
Basically. Oh yeah. I mean, I'm comfortable going five out. I was just asking you the question, how you work it.
Yeah, I mean, I want my bigs to be able to step out. I want them to be able to shoot. I want them to be able to. I just think it's harder to defend. You know what I mean?
And I mean just in general, even if I had I actually had a bigger team last year, I still felt comfortable with the five out because. Even if they're off out, they can always find a way to the post. Cut, hey, stay there for 3 seconds and then get out. And honestly, a lot of my bigs last year, which was kind of annoying, they didn't want to post. And so it was kind of benefiting me. Okay, well, if you don't want to post, you're not going to be an issue just standing there in the middle to stay out, the way.
Unless you're going to come.
Yeah.
The thing is, I think it leaves more space for your guys to play too. Yeah. You know what I mean? The court's already small enough. It's like you want as much space as you can. So I like it. I like it a lot.
Okay. Yeah. I'll probably give them that option just to see how it goes. Probably have to just do a better job kind of enforcing it, teaching it. But you did bring up, which was actually my second question, about, I guess, the whole circle movement part, the movement on the drive. Now, this has always been, and I mean, I've always been a fan of the read and react, but one of the things that I couldn't ever get behind, which you kind of have to do, is the whole, like, drive right, everyone circles right, is that corner guy cutting baseline.
You're talking about driving baseline or cutting baseline?
Well, let's say the drive was from up top.
Yep.
Up top, and he drove right. Everyone's supposed to circle right. And that corner right, he's supposed to go.
Say that again. So you're saying the wing. Yeah, you got a board. Let me see.
About that. So.
Yep. Right.
Circle. All right. So.
Yep.
This guy decides to drive.
Yep.
So everyone obviously has to go this way. But I've always had an issue where kind of like, cause this guy is supposed to go all the way across.
Yeah. If you drive from the middle, I don't have those other two on the right side. I don't have if he's driving toward you, I don't have those guys necessarily move.
I have
interchange because I do want the guy on the other wing to fill behind.
Ooh, yeah.
But I don't necessarily want those two. Oh. I have them interchange or do something like that. You're right, because you don't want to bring them in toward.
Yeah.
First of all, I want to know what defense is going to let you do that.
Yeah, and I've been in other programs where that's like you have to do that, and it's like, well, like you said, he's literally running into your man because he's faster. Then the guy at the ball, so he's going
to. Hey, everybody. I hope you're enjoying the podcast. Ask you to do a couple things. First of all, go over and subscribe and like, leave a review. We really do love those. Also, I want you to go over and check out a one-stop shop for basketball coaches. It's called hoopsblueprint.com. It's got everything. It's got a special for teachhoops.com. It's also got every play, everything, every playbook you would ever want to go over and check out. So go over and check that out at hoopsblueprint.com. Won't be there for very long, but it is everything that you would want as a basketball coach. And to be honest, we got a special little lifetime deal going for teachhoops.com inside of there. So go over and check that out, hoopsblueprint.com, and have a great day.
So he's going to get there first. So right. Him and his defender are going to meet you at the rim.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't like that. I give them freedom I don't want them to crowd the space. You're going to cut behind the guy that's driving. You're not going to go toward him. Never cut toward the guy driving. That's our rule. Gotcha. And if those two on that right side go toward him, you're moving your man. You never move toward the guy driving. Because first of all, if he can drive from the top of the key to the paint, you're going to win anyway.
Yeah.
Like hell. I mean, I don't know what defense lets you do that.
Okay. All right. I was just thinking about that. Just like, should I move away from that? Am I hampering the offense by not doing that circle movement? But it was always something, because this is my first time being able to make that adjustment, because I've always been told, hey, they have to cut.
I'm going to give you a little bit of advice for someone that's done this for 30 years. If it doesn't work, throw it out. Like,
gotcha.
You know what I mean? If it's crap, don't use it. And you want space for them. You want them to be able to score. And the baseline drive is an easy one. Mm-hmm. Actually, the wing drive is a hard one too, because you know sometimes that corner guy will just relocate or make one cut toward the basket and come back out. Because if he's driving it from the wing down to the basket, you don't necessarily want him going at the basket at that point because everyone else is rotating. Yeah. So maybe he rotates behind and then the other guys stay. You know, they just got to find space.
Yeah, okay. All right, yeah. I was just something I was just trying to address, because, I mean, I didn't teach the circle movement at all last year.
And did they do it?
Some did it. I didn't try to put it in because I came in. I got hired late,
okay.
And so I never had. And obviously it was COVID, so I didn't have no off season. I didn't want to put something I didn't feel comfortable with. So I was just more comfortable. Okay, let me just focus on other things, and I'll get to this later.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Can they shoot?
Based on our classification, we're relatively skilled. We're just very small.
Small is fine as long as they can score. But then but then think about those movements, like what's going to happen? Well, you're gonna pass. So you gotta think about, okay, what am I gonna work on in practice? Mm-hmm. Right? Pass the wing. I gotta work on the cutting movement. So you should have drills in which you work on cutting. You should have drills working on coming off the screen and slipping, coming off the screen and shooting. You should have drills on shooting. Like everything, there's only basically four or five different types of shots they're going to get, right? Yeah. So those are the kind of like, well, I got stopped and someone filled behind me. I stop, I pivot, and I kick out. I'm telling you, if you can get them to do that, you'll get a lot of open threes, because as they drive, the defense is going to do this on them. Yeah. And if they can stop and they know someone's behind them, because they're filling and pivot, man, we do drills on that all the time, because those are going to be open threes, not just threes. Those are going to be open threes.
Yeah.
Because no one that can help.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it is just me worrying. I don't know if it's because of this is kind of my – it's mine now.
Right.
Because, like, the team I have, I mean, they were – even though, like, I mean, like 90% of the team is going to be from JV.
Right.
But – like they were skilled, like they were.
Don't take this year as normal. This is the I've coached since I was 20. I've coached for 30 plus years. This is the weirdest freaking year ever.
Oh yeah, it's
also, nothing. As a stats teacher, nothing this year correlates to next year. Nothing.
Yeah. I mean, I figured. I mean, I feel like I had to do I mean, you didn't even get to coach this year.
We didn't
right?
even get to play. But the games I watched, I would say there were five times more teams playing zone this year than last year.
Really?
Because people didn't have the practice, they didn't have the off season, they had all, they just threw something out there.
Yeah.
So anything you got from this year, irrelevant, basically. Just throw it out the window. Because next year is going to be different because we'll be back to normal, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it will be. I mean, I played a lot more zone than I wanted to this past year.
You had to, because you had to, you know. That's just the way it kind of worked.
Okay. I guess summer wise, how do you obviously want to focus on getting your team better, like individually? Cause I mean, obviously the sum is only as good as the parts. So obviously that's the main focus, but how do I balance that? Like between obviously making sure, cause I mean, we're going to be obviously in the weight room, focusing on everybody getting better, but like how do I do that while also making sure like what would be the time breakdown? So like honestly right now, all I have from now until let's say August is I would say 7 weeks, 3 days practice each week.
Okay. All right. So off season is about them. Mm-hmm. In season's about us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you want to get them stronger. You want to help them work on their individual skills.
Yeah.
Okay. You want them to become better players. So that's an easy sell. It's a lot harder to get them in the gym when it's 90 degrees out than it is, you know, because they'd rather go hang out at the pool and look at the, you know, the little chiquilalas. And then it's about them playing together and getting used to playing together. Mm-hmm. So it's about that relationship. For you as the coach, this is when you get to build your bond with them now, mm-hmm. in the off season. So this is when you can joke with them, you can do fun things, you can do that now, because you don't have, it's not the teacher student things as much as like you're going to be grading them and blah 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 and deciding who plays and who so you're working on building them as a team, you're building them as an individual, you're building them as a cohesive group. That's what summers needs to be about. So 3 days a week, a lot of it would be, I mean, this is when they can become shooters, this is when this is when they can become scorers. This is when they can get a little stronger, because in season you're maintaining.
Yeah.
Are you doing stuff in like team camps? Are you going to play together? Those kind of things.
Yeah. And there's we signed up to a summer league every Tuesday. Starts in a couple of weeks.
Yep.
And also we're doing one team camp, which is the only one I could find in our area, the Tampa area. So, but I mean, I think that would be enough since we're playing every Tuesday.
Yep.
One team camp. So I think.
So do you get to practice? You're in Florida. Do you get to practice legally? Like you can have them in the gym and go through your offense and do that or not?
We have to do it at another gym.
Oh, but you can do it though at another gym.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's a way around it. Like you have to organize as an AAU team and do this. And so like,
okay.
That way.
can you experiment with your offense a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So that would be my sell too. Is like, hey, we want to do this and we want to score a lot of points and we want to run this. This is our laboratory here. We want to experiment. Let's see, you know, we're playing a summer league game. Let's see if we can, you know, work on our offense or maybe our pressure or score so many points in a quarter. So you want to challenge them to a couple things, make it fun, but challenge them. That tends to be very useful, to be honest. Yeah.
Okay. So last question. I know we got a little bit of time. So next year, like I said, I've got a lot of the JV guys just coming up. They had a good season compared to the past. And they're a good group of kids.
Okay.
But the one issue I'm having is or that may come up is having too many people on the team. Like just looking up, just at the numbers of the two or three kids coming back, of the kids on JV, like I'm counting like 15, 16.
Okay.
I don't know if I want 15, 6. I mean, it's one, I'm looking at it as obviously the playing time, and you don't want to have that many kids on the bench. But I'm also like, I don't like they as a group, they were, it was a cohesive bond. Like even after losses, it wasn't that it was they, like they were down on it, but it wasn't that bad. Like you could tell there was something with them as a group. So it's like, who do I cut? Even if like I kind of know who I want to cut, but it's like, what will it do to the whole team dynamics if I make those cuts? Like that's what I'm worried about. Like I don't know which one.
Did you have postseason? Did you have postseason interviews with them?
Interviews? Not right after. I did talk to a couple of them. I'm actually kind of in the process of that, just talking to them about what things they need to work on, stuff like that.
I would try to do some sort of exit interview with all of them, and just find out where some of them are in their head. Mm-hmm. I do something that I find very useful that I have them rank each other. So, you know, if there's 16 of them coming back, I say, here's the names, rank the best player to the 16th player. So I can kind of see where they are in their heads, and it's no one sees it other than me. But it will tell you if this kid thinks he's, you know, 14, if you think he's 14 and he thinks he's 2, then you got a problem, you know, or if vice versa. I find that very useful for those conversations, because those are difficult and courageous conversations. But
yeah,
the ideal number is probably 12 to.
Yeah, I mean that's what I was thinking. Just keep it at 12. But this is
12 can get tricky if a couple of people get hurt.
Yeah,
but 15, you better make sure 15, hurt, yeah. 14, and 13 are on the bus and ready to go. Like they know their role, they know they won't like, and here's the issue is they'll say they understand their role.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a little easier if they're not a senior. Seniors, it's really hard. So,
and that's the issue. Like, okay, so if I do, it's a lot of juniors, but then come the next year, I have,
you got to cut yeah. 6 of them next year. So, but some of that will be self-selection too, because if they're 13, 14, 15, they don't play.
They might not come back for next year.
They self-cut themselves.
Yeah.
So that would be, if it's a cohesive group, it'd be hard to, you know, you might have just have this, you know, how many uniforms you got?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have 15. That's the thing. I have 15 uniforms, so it's like, I don't know if I want that many.
15 then, so you're going to probably have to cut somebody.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know I'm going to have to, but just in general, I don't know if I want 15.
15's doable. 15's doable as long as the bottom two or three really understand their role.
Okay.
They got to understand. And if they're juniors, it's a little easier to swallow that than it is if they're seniors.
Okay.
Because they always have hope.
Yeah.
There's always hope.
Yeah. Always hope for the next year.
There's always hope.
But yeah, I mean that's really what I'm dealing with right now. Just wanted to just talk about it.
Okay. Yeah. I'd love to see some film on them too. I could tell you more about the offense if I could see them in person. But
okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're small and you got shooters, I would definitely stay with 5 out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Sounds good. All right.
Stay safe, coach. Yeah.
All right.
Hey, everybody. Hope you enjoyed that. If you want to support us, you want to help us keep the lights on here at teachhoops.com, go over, join 14-day free trial, and then stop the car, subscribe, like, Apple 5-star review. That would be good. All right. Maybe. Have a good day. Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.